This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I have a visionary and innovator sitting in the hot seat. Snehal Antani is the CEO of Horizon3.ai. We're talking about today the most innovative solution. We're talking about autonomous security platforms and the future of cybersecurity. Snehal, I'm honored to have you. Welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
So earlier we were talking and you said something great about a little slogan about offense. Could you kind of bring that back?
Yeah. So I have very high conviction that offense drives defense, and really think of it as the better you understand how an attacker can compromise you, the better you can prioritize and improve your defensive efforts. And if you don't have that attacker's perspective, you may not be working on the right things, or you may not have built the right muscle memory. A variation of that is training like you fight, something that you'll see in the military. You don't want to learn how to deal with a crisis or operate under fire for the first time when you're in crisis. You want to build that muscle memory ahead of time. So you want to train like you fight. You want to understand your environment through the eyes of the attacker.
Now, what inspired you to start Horizon3.ai?
So my background, I was a software engineer by education and trade, but I was a CIO within GE Capital. I was a CTO at Splunk, and then spent time within the Department of Defense. And in every one of my jobs, I had no idea I was secure until the bad guys showed up. Are we fixing the right vulnerabilities? Are we logging the right data in Splunk or in CrowdStrike? Does my team actually know how to respond to a breach? And the answer is, I don't know. I've got to wait for the bad guys to show up or pay a bunch of mediocre consultants to show up once a year and test a small slice of my environment. And what I wanted to move towards was, for every patch Tuesday, I wanted a pen test Wednesday. I wanted to verify my security posture through a pen test after every major change in my network, after every major onboarding of new employees, after every major patch, because any one of those could lead to a complete change in my attack surface. And I didn't want to learn the hard way that something was exploitable. I wanted to proactively verify that security. And that's what compelled me to start Horizon 3.
That's awesome. I used to be on CV, the advisory board that MITRE runs for the CVE program. And a lot of folks think, hey, I've patched, I've closed out the vulnerability, I'm safe. But in most cases, that's not actually the case, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, you've got two fundamental problems with CVEs. The first is, just because you're vulnerable doesn't mean you're exploitable. So take Log4Shell as an example. Just because you had the Log4j jar file that was vulnerable in your environment didn't mean the attacker could exploit you. You could have put a network egress control in place that prevented the outbound JNDI connection that allowed an attacker to compromise you. And you would have still had the vulnerable jar, but you had put in mitigating controls to prevent exploitation. And so the real big problem is, I don't want to know if I'm vulnerable. I want to know if I'm exploitable. And that's the first issue. The second issue is that CVSS scores that tell you what's critical versus what isn't was based on a static understanding of that vulnerability. But you could have a low CVSS score like SMB signing not required, which by default is informational or a low depending on the product. And yeah, on its own, it could be, but that could be combined with other issues and enable you to have a full compromise. And so context when you're scoring a CVE matters, and that context is unique to you and your environment. And so just because I had 100,000 critical vulnerabilities, maybe 5 or 10 were actually exploitable that led to some critical impact. And so a challenge was deciding what not to fix as a CIO.
Wow. And so you've automated the process. What is an autonomous security platform? And are we trusting AI too much? How does that work?
So first and foremost is the distinction between automated and autonomous. So think of when IBM played Garry Kasparov in chess. IBM didn't hard code 40 million chess games. They looked at every piece on the board to determine the next best action. Automating pen testing, I believe, is an impossible task. You cannot hard code 40 million different permutations and variations of a variety of attacks because, one, The attacker tactics are constantly evolving, and two, your environment is constantly changing. So hard coding a bunch of runbooks to try to automate a sequence of steps doesn't work. Autonomous is about building an autonomous agent that knows nothing about your environment, that can conduct recon and discovery and map out the cyber terrain and select the next best actions in order to achieve an objective, which is compromise your domain, steal sensitive data, and so on. With reinforcement learning that says the more pen tests you run, the smarter that next best action algorithm becomes. So autonomous looks a lot more like IBM playing Kasparov in chess. Automated is about trying to hard code a bunch of runbooks, which just doesn't work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So you do offer automated pen testing, continuous security validation. We probably gain a lot more on threat intelligence. Could you tell us how that leads to a more hardened environment that has a lot less risk of a breach?
Yeah, so we do autonomous pen testing, which is you'll configure an autonomous agent in its scope. You'll drop it in your environment for an internal pen test. It will know nothing about your environment, conduct recon discovery, and compromise you in a way that's safe for production, which is a really important design point. Now, when you do that, 80 to 90% of my users are not pen testers. They're not even security people. They're IT admins and network engineers that know how to fix stuff. So the entire user experience is not about finding, it's about showing you what you have to fix right away so you can fix it and then run a targeted retest to verify that the issue has been fixed. So the behavior that we create is find, fix, verify. Find a problem, quickly fix it, verify through a retest. And the more you find, fix, verify, the more secure your environment is because you have chipped away at what's exploitable and you understand how many problems you have, how quickly are you fixing them, how often are they reoccurring and why, and how effective were you at detecting and responding the attack.
So Snehal, let's say I'm understaffed. I don't have a lot of folks on SecOps, and you know, I've got my PCI compliance report due. I'm overwhelmed, and it's a lot of hard work. Is this just kind of plug and play, click and go? And how soft or hard of a test is it? Do we have any risk of downtime?
It's a great question. So let's start with time to value. If it takes more than 15 or 20 minutes to initiate that internal pen test, something has gone wildly wrong. It should be that fast. All you've got to do is configure the internal pen test scope, which is your IP range, your RFC 1918, wide range if you want to. Basic rules of engagement. Do you want us to be gentle? Do you want us to be aggressive? And go. And then we'll generate a single-use Docker container that you will initiate inside your environment. And as long as it can access our command and control service over 443 outbound, you're set. That's it. At the end of the pen test, that Docker container shuts down and you can delete it. So there's no persistent on-prem environment. So time to value is super important because you don't want to have to install credentialed agents all over the place. You get a single use, non-credentialed container. You can add credentials if you want and go. The second part is safe for production. We don't want to make your day worse. That's super important. And so there are the reality that ethical hackers code for the happy path. They are not software engineers. Their job is to prove this one exploit. We spend a lot of time and effort in making sure that exploits are safe to run for production. In fact, a large chunk of my R&D is spent on that. And we also have the context of, hey, if we execute this attack in this particular type of environment, there's a much higher likelihood of a production problem, and so we're not going to do it. But there is an alternative philosophy, which is, I would rather learn about brittleness of my environment on my terms than to learn about it on someone else's terms. And so some of our customers like running more aggressive configurations because they want to know if they've got risk of a denial of service internally. For instance, there's a misconfig between the load balancer and the firewall where RFC 1918 requests aren't being routed to null properly. And so if that's misconfigured, you could have requests bouncing back and forth, which causes a denial of service. That's an actual network misconfig. You are at risk of that being a problem. Some customers are super worried about that occurring, and you can tune the product down. Other customers want to know that so they can improve their resilience overall. And so we allow and support both of those kinds of mindsets.
That's wonderful. And it sounds super easy to deploy. Who cannot afford Horizon 3?
We've got large enterprises using us. Most of our customers are actually mid-market shops, average IT security team of less than 10 people. A big reason why they want to use us is our ability to help them fiercely prioritize. Because the hardest part of my job as a CIO was deciding what not to fix or what not to do. And I can use the attacker's perspective to prioritize my security initiatives, where I go off and defend and fix and so on. The third group, my fastest growing customer segment, is actually MSSPs, where they OEM us and integrate us into their product offering and make us available to their customers. So about a third of our customers are very large enterprise, a third are mid-market, and a third are small and medium-sized businesses. So we cover everyone from the largest banks in the world to your local law firm and everyone in between.
That's wonderful. And a lot of folks are worried about their next audit, their next in cyber insurance policy renewal period and what the exclusions are going to be and all that kind of stuff. This is continuous. So if you do it right, you're always operating ahead of the next breach because you're finding the points of resiliency or weakness in advance. And if we can, as you say, there are certain things you're not going to fix, but if you fix the most critical, aren't you taking due care and due diligence, and maybe you should get a cheaper policy, or know where to spend your money better than others?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're actually killing three birds with one stone. So the first bird you're killing is you are genuinely improving your own security posture through find, fix, and verify. You are reducing your exploitable attack surface. The next stone you're killing is, or bird you're killing, nothing against birds, is you are able to articulate the change in your security posture over time. So in banking, you can use our results to show your self-identified findings report. For your cyber insurance premium, you can show your exploitable attack surface in January. You can show that, do a diff and show the pen test results in July and show how many issues you've fixed and how many new issues have been introduced or not introduced. So you can articulate your posture over time for self-identified findings reports, proving your posture to your board to show ROI justification of your security spend and for your insurance premium. And then the third, outcome here is, those results satisfy PCI 11.4, SOC 2, and other compliance requirements. So, with one effort, you're able to knock out all three things.
That's wonderful. And back to my question on AI, or as you said, it's autonomous. Is there an engine that, it figures out new things every day? Do you have a team doing it? Are you mapping to the MITRE ATT&CK framework and saying we have so many permutations, it's 1,000 tests, 10,000 tests, 1,000,000 tests? Where are we going with the whole autonomous model? And is AI involved?
Yeah, so let's just talk about it generally for a moment in the world of offensive cyber. So the first effort is the process of identifying an exploit in a piece of software. If you have an F5 product with a version 10, and now F5 version 10.1 comes out, what an attacker will do is a binary differentiation of those two versions of the product. And they're going to look at code that's changed. And then they're going to analyze the code that's changed to identify if a security issue has been fixed or if a security issue has been introduced. And if so, they've found either an end day they can exploit in previous versions or they've found a zero day because a new problem was introduced. So that part of the process, for the most part, is manual. And there are really interesting applications of large language models to help accelerate the discovery of end days and zero days through binary differentiation. So that's something that we have flavors that, but we use that for our own in-house exploit development from our own attack team and so on and so forth. The next part of it is using machine learning, reinforcement learning, and artificial intelligence to accelerate that decision-making process. And that is that core engine that I described. And a simple way to describe it is next best actions to achieve an objective. And that next best action is based on historical results, probability of getting caught, probability of causing an outage, likelihood of achieving the objective. And that core engine is our secret sauce. So that's what we've really invested a lot of time in. And then the third part is the role of Gen AI to improve explainability of an issue. So here I've got a finding. How do I enrich all of the information around that find to help you better understand what to do about it and how to fix it? So I think about AI for cyber in those three, at least in my area, in those three realms. Our core innovation is in the next best action algorithms, with the role of AI in the other two areas also.
That makes a lot of sense. Snehal, is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Our customers end up shifting from one or two pen tests a year to 40 or 50 pen tests a month, constantly finding, fixing, and verifying. But they don't run that pen test from the same spot over and over and over again. So think of it as you're assuming breach in different scenarios. What happens if a burglar breaks into my kitchen? Could they navigate to the bedroom where the safe is? Okay, let's assume breach in my kitchen. Well, what if they broke into my garage? Could they navigate to the safe in the bedroom? That's assuming breach from a different spot in your house or a different spot in the network. So what you want to do is run pen tests, not from the kitchen over and over and over again, but from the kitchen, the living room, the garage, the basement. You want to run from different spots to understand the blast radius from that spot. And you want to understand how the blast radius has changed over time. But the real killer feature for us is while running a pen test, we will auto deploy honey tokens in your environment so that if a real bad guy shows up, alerts will go off. And the analogy there is while breaking into your house, we'll install Ring cameras and other sensors along the way. So if a real bad guy shows up, you're going to know they're there. So now we're doing pen testing and threat detection at the same time, which goes back to my thesis of how offense drives defense. Pen testing results are the map and compass for how, for where to improve your defenses.
That is amazing. Like I said at the beginning, we have a visionary here. Snehal Antani, you are the CEO of Horizon3.ai. Folks, if you want to get one step ahead of the next threat, streamline your security operations, reduce the risk of a breach, and improve your resilience, because nobody's secure, but you can be more resilient. Get Horizon3.ai.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.